Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. Well, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we do thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, I pray that you receive the worship that we just gave you. I pray that it was pleasing to you, Father. I pray that we really mean it, Lord, because you really are worthy of everything that we have and everything that we do, Father. You're worthy of everything that we could possibly offer you. I'm so thankful this morning for Jesus Christ, who made a way for us, Father, to be able to come stand boldly before the throne of God and worship you. You've canceled sin in our life. You've given us the ability to love one another and to be a part of everything you're doing. I pray, Father, that you open our eyes this morning to your truths. I pray, Father, that you open our ears. Open our hearts, Father. And I ask you to let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in this meeting. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we were blessed to have a guest speaker, a missionary to Cambodia. For those of you who weren't here, Mr. Aaron Holmes. Jack has gone over to Cambodia on a mission trip and was able to meet this guy. And he came last week and shared with us kind of the things that God's doing there in Cambodia, and it's pretty heavy. How many of you enjoyed that message? And it was eye-opening to me. It's good to know that God is all over the world working, isn't it? And even in this darkness, I was blessed to be able to meet with Aaron for about an hour before the service, and he was telling me and Jack things that he didn't say from up here. And let me just tell you something. It's heavy there in Cambodia. He talked some about sex trafficking and things like that, but it's your mind doesn't even want to go to where they actually are, what they're doing there right now. And I just kept thinking about, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world to rescue people like us, and he's still doing that. The scripture says that the light shone in the darkness. That Jesus came in gross darkness, and it shone. It said the darkness didn't understand it, but it kept shining. And I thought about the light that was in Aaron. And that God sent his son went into Aaron, God took Aaron, put him in Cambodia with his family, in dealing in deep darkness all the time. And I just thought, how much does God love his people? He could just leave them alone as orphans, and he chooses to take one of us and send them. And then I started thinking about our lights. And how important your light is in the world. That seems to us like that's such a much bigger deal than what we're doing. But how many of you know you also are a light where you're at now? And where God, he sent his son because he loved you and he shined light into your heart. And now every day, whatever your everyday process is, whether it be at your home with your children or at work or wherever it is, your job is to shine your light. Just like Aaron is doing in Cambodia. And here's my thought. If he can do it there, if he can do it there where there's just a glimmer of light, how much more us? It really called me to want to start really making sure I'm shining my light everywhere I'm going. I have no excuse. He's in the front lines in the most difficult place on earth, maybe, to preach the gospel. So I'm so glad that he was able to come here and share with us. I want us also to not forget about him. You know, it's easy, out of sight, out of mind. He's traveling back this week, I think, right, Jack, or next week? Well, so he's leaving Tuesday. I just don't want to forget about him. That's what I'm saying. Let's try to keep him in our minds. And y'all remind me also. I want to think about this guy. He's got a wife and children, and he's trying to do all these things. Listen, let me just say this. I don't want to be called to Cambodia. I don't want to be called to do that. So I want to support a guy that's doing that. So if y'all want to get together and pray for this guy, I'll do it with you, whatever we can do. But I want to get together with him. Wonderful time last week. Well, a few weeks ago I shared a message titled Walking with God Every Day. And what I shared was that God has a deep desire to be with us every single day. Not just on Sundays when we meet together, not just on a Wednesday night Bible study, but how many of you know your father wants to be with you every single day in every single circumstance of your life. Do you believe that? When I look around my life, and then you can do the same, this is not being judgmental, it's just an assessment. I feel like there's very few people that really walk that out, that really believe that when they get up in the morning that their Father wants something to do with them. And then as they go to work or as they, whatever they're doing in their life that day, that they are including God in some capacity. I call it an awareness of God, a mind governed by God every day, all day. And here's the kicker. It's not something that you have to remind yourself to do any more than it would be to remind yourself to love your child or to love your wife. Now, when you put in those perspectives, you should be able to understand. Whoever it is, if you're a child, loving your father or your mother, okay? It just comes naturally. I'm telling you today, that is God's desire in his relationship with you, is that you interact with him just like you would that person you're thinking of who you love the most. That is not difficult. You don't have to get up in the morning and go, oh, I gotta pray. Oh man, I gotta pick up this Bible and start reading again. You don't feel like it's taxing. It's the joy of your life. I want to get our minds to that place. Do you know how special that would be if we could all feel that way about each other and our Father? Do you know how special? Do you know what we would do to the city of Starkville if we all related to God in that fashion? That we actually saw him as a person in our life every day. That we loved and wanted to serve him, and it wasn't difficult. That we weren't burdened by sin and thought, oh, you know, I'm not worthy and I'm just a worthless sinner, but instead we said, I'm a son and a daughter of the King. He wants to be with me and I want to be with him. And then we're looking every day for the lost brothers and sisters of Christ, the children of God out there in the world, and because we're relating to him every day, we're meditating on him day and night, then it's just going to be natural to say, come join us. And how many of you know the scripture says that eternity is set in the hearts of men? Meaning, everybody that doesn't know him has something in them that draws them close to the Father. I've said this before, but how many of you know that people are longing for you to talk to them about their God? Do you believe that? Is it possible that you go to work every day for the last 15 years and there's a woman there or a guy there that has been waiting for you just to say, let me introduce you to your Father? Is that possible? I worked for a long time with my old friend Marty Coleman that I've shared many times here, and I've said this before, but we were talking one day, I was lost could be, doing everything under the sun, not a thought of God in my heart and in my mind. And in our conversation one day, he said, God is faithful. In a conversation, he was talking about his marriage, I think. Him and his wife had gotten into an argument or something. And I was like, oh man, what are you going to do? And he was like, I don't know, man. He's like, God's faithful. He's going to help me. And he walked away and I just was, what is that? God is faithful? Why would you put that in a, I didn't even know he was a Christian. Not, it wasn't his fault. He was acting like my mind just wasn't there. And I went to bed that night and it just rolled around in my brain because eternity was in my heart and it was longing for a father. I was longing for my father. But I didn't know what it was. So you know what I did? I came back the next day and I made fun of him and I was like, yesterday when you said God is faithful. And I made a joke about it. And you don't want to joke with Marty. He's like the most quick-witted, sharp-tongued guy. And he was dead serious with me, and he was like, yeah, I was talking about God, and that's the beginning of Brantley Johnson getting saved. It was a comment, just an introduction into my dreary world of eternal verbiage that came out and got into me. Came out and got into me and changed my life forever. Is that all it takes? Maybe that's it. Are you even aware of the people around you every day that might be waiting for you to say, come Lord Jesus, teach me, show me my Father? I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying this is where we're at, I think, in the world. Satan works overtime to try to keep us away from those things. We don't want to offend. We don't want to be the religious zealot, the freak, you know, the Jesus freak. We don't want to come across as anything. I think in the church we've gotten on a bad side of this where we just don't, we want everybody to think we're just like them. We're just like you. Look, we've been in the world. We know what it's like. I lived that way for so long. Let me just say something. That's not effective. I didn't want somebody like me when I was lost and failing in my life. I wanted somebody to say, I can show you the way out of where you're at. In fact, I'm nothing like you. I understand you, but I'm not like you. God has saved me from myself, and I'm going to help you to get to that place too. You know, that to me was way more effective. I needed that leadership in my life. Anyway, God has called us to walk with Him every day. And when we do that, when we are actually aware of Him every day, and we see Him as our sustainer, and when we see Him as our salvation and our hope every day, you're going to be aware of those things more than you would be if you weren't doing that. Okay? In walking with God, I gave you four biblical points a few weeks ago, and I'm preaching through them now. I called them biblical points slash hints, but I think they're really necessities. Four necessities to walk with your God. Number one, we've covered already, which was knowing the Scriptures. Knowing the Scriptures. Number two was to pray. Number three was to love people. And number four was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said that if you can practice these four things, you'll be on your journey, on your walk with God every day. You need to know these four things. I would like for you to memorize them if you would, and think about them in the morning. Are you studying the Scripture? Are you praying? Are you loving people? And are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And today we'll be covering prayer. And there's a lot. Prayer's a lot. I was telling Pastor Murphy this morning, I said, you know, I've been walking with God for 25 years. Thought that I knew a lot about God. And when I start plumbing the depths of some of these things, just like knowing the Scriptures a few weeks ago, prayer is so much different than what I have always thought it was. And I'm ashamed to think that I have been walking with God as long as I have and didn't recognize some of these things. I confessed to y'all last week or 2 weeks ago that my prayer life has not matured with the rest of my Christian walk with God. Meaning, I know the Scripture a lot better than I did back when I was 20. I love my wife a lot better than I did back when I was 20. I've become a father. I love my sons better than I did. But my prayer life has basically stayed the same. And that is it. That is this. I basically wake up in the morning, say a prayer, and it's typically about me asking God to help me with what I'm doing that day. And then I ask God to help my family, which is me, so it's kind of still self-serving, and I ask God to be with them, and then I might move out from that, or I might just go on to work after that. That's about my prayer life. I'm just being honest with you. Now, I've had moments that were wonderful, wonderful prayer moments, but not my everyday. It's not my everyday. So I said I wanted to learn this together with you guys. I wanted to go over prayer. How many of you know Jesus prayed? I want you to try to think about that. The Son of God, the Word, the living Word, the Word wrapped in flesh, prayed. And He prayed all the time. Why? He had a direct link to the Father. He knew Him. I mean, He knew what His mission was. He knew where He was going. He knew what He was supposed to be doing. And He still felt the need to pray. Not just in ordinary times. He prayed in the most difficult times of His life. He said, let's stop. I'm going off to pray. How many of you want to pray better? Raise your hand if you feel like you need to pray better. How many of you feel like that you're good on prayer? It's funny, you know, I've watched so many videos studying for this and all these statistics in churches, and it's the same answer from everybody. Nobody raises their hand saying they feel good about their prayer life. I'm sure there's a couple of you in here, but prayer's difficult sometimes. I'm getting off my nose. Let's stay on it here. How many of you know that prayer is holy? It is intimate. It is other than. It's different than anything else you do with God. Do you know that? For some reason, when you start to pray and communicate with your God, there's a spiritual warfare type aspect to it, isn't there? And I can prove it to you because you know what happens when you sit down and pray. Something will happen that will distract you, and it will take you away from that prayer. Or you'll pray and feel like you're not being heard, so you just kind of give up on it. Something special happens when we start to pray to our God. Something in heaven starts to happen. Something starts to change. And I don't have all the answers today for it. I want you to do your study. But one thing I came up with is Satan hates communication with God. Let me tell you something. I think Satan might be okay if you read every morning, but you didn't talk to God. Or if you just prayed and you never read. As long as prayer is a two-way conversation. Do you believe that? Do you know that? It's two-way. Most of my life it's been one way. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Satan's not worried about me blabbering everything that I want to God. What he's afraid of is if he responds to me. Then it becomes real, doesn't it? Prayer, Satan hates communication. He hates communication in general. How many of you know words are all we have, really? Do you know that? When people are wounded, well, Aaron brought it up last week. These kids, when they're getting abused as children, what happened? What did he say happened? Their communication halts. And Satan goes, he can't talk anymore. I've seen this firsthand in my own life with childhood trauma. When somebody is hurt as a child, is there a wound that is inflicted, communication halts. Shame comes. And he wants to do anything he can to stop you from being able to communicate, both to God and to one another. You should be aware of that scheme. If you're in that place and say, I must learn to communicate with my God. I must learn to communicate with my brother and sister in Christ. We cannot allow him to steal our communication. We cannot be distracted. We cannot just give in the morning and say, well, today's just not the day. Your God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. What a gift prayer is. It is another tool that God the Father has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We read it last week, Hebrews 4. Scripture says, because of what Christ did for us, we can now come boldly before the throne and talk to our God. The Scripture says in Peter that He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So He's given us the Word so we can know Him. That's His words to us. And then He gave us a way to communicate with Him. You don't have to go to some high priest and ask God if you could talk to him. You can go right now. You can step in this room right now and converse with the creator of the cosmos. The one who knitted you together in your mother's womb. To think we would go a day without talking to that person is crazy. Holds all things for you in your life. He holds all things for you. Your very existence, the breath in your lungs, the blinking of your eyes, the heartbeat, he's keeping all that going. But your emotional needs, your spiritual needs, your physical needs, he holds all that. He is the source of all of those things. And to think that we would just say, yeah, not today, God, I'm sorry, I'm busy. It's absurd. I do it every day. I'm not being judgmental. We have to get our minds back on where God's called us and how we can walk with Him and what He's given us in order for us to do that. I want to just go quickly over Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, and I want us to read it together. I want you to think about it as we read it. We are blessed because we have these disciples that were just like us, Sometimes we think they were silly and foolish, but I'm so thankful for them because they ask the questions that we need to ask, don't they? And so there's two versions of the Lord's Prayer. There's one in Luke 11, and then there's one in Matthew 6. And y'all know this. But in the one in Luke, the disciples said that they heard Jesus pray, and they heard him praying. And they said, teach us how to pray like that. And he said, okay, what a gift. And we have it written right here in front of my face on this pulpit. The Son of God teaching us how to pray. So this is his version in Matthew. It's got a little more in there, so I'm going to do it. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not think that they will be heard because of their many words. I missed something. I'm sorry. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Y'all say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I'm going to read this last part. It says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. These are one of those scriptures that you got to be careful because you've mouthed it all your life, haven't you? And it can become just totally dull, habitual, mean nothing to you anymore. And yet, it's one of the most powerful prayers in all of the Bible. This is the Son of God teaching you how to pray. I want to just take this outline real quick and go over what I think Jesus was saying here and how to approach God in prayer. And it's a lot different than what I do. And we'll just start off with first being that he says, the first point is that he calls him our Father. Our Father. I preached this several weeks ago. Talked about in the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, they only used the word Father for God 16 times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they used the word Father 240 times in the New Testament, Jesus using it 140 times by himself. So something changed from the Old to the New. And what changed was Jesus Christ came as a son and began to teach us that we too were children of God. And now when we relate to him, we can relate to him as a father. As a father. I hope that's impactful to you. I know the damage that has been done in the world by bad fathers. And I feel like I've got to say this every time. If you had a bad father, I'm sorry that you had a bad father. I understand to a degree. But this father is not the same as your father. And if you give him a chance, he will show you what kind of a father he really is. There's a huge difference in coming to God in prayer as God versus Father. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? When I first got saved, I dealt with God as God in my prayers. I would approach him and I would say, well, I would feel unworthy, number one. I didn't think I was a son. I thought I had an angry God dealing with me. At the very least, disappointed in me. At the very least. Because I don't ever measure up. I still don't measure up. And I would deal with him as God. And then, like I said, as I was walking through my life and kind of walking out my salvation, I was blessed to meet Pastor Murphy and other men that were able to teach me that God was my Father. And it began a change in me in the way that I would approach him in prayer. That is the one thing that I think I did have a click of maturity as I began to deal with him as father. And I loved it. I loved feeling like he was a father to me. But it really didn't hit home until I had these boys. And if you've had children, you understand this. Even if you're a mama, you understand. It's a different kind of love, isn't it? And when I was researching this and trying to study about what is prayer and how should we do it, one thing I came up with is this, is that there's nothing that my sons cannot come to me. Hear me. There's nothing. There's no approach that they need for me to get my attention. They don't have to go through a process of begging for forgiveness before they come and talk to me. They don't have to try to manipulate me to give them something good. Do you know that? You know, they know that. That would be embarrassing. They don't have to go out there and try to cut the yard before they ask if they can go out that night. They know that about me. I hope you know that about me. They can come to me just as they are. And I'm going to tell you something. It's my delight when they come to me. It doesn't matter. Even I'm just an earthly dad. He's so much better than me. But man, some of my worst times in my life is when I felt like I was really busy and one of them did come and wanted to talk to me and I didn't have time. And I felt like God was going to kill me. You better make time for your boys. You are a representation to them of me. I am just an earthly dad and not even on the top. How much more when we come to God? I want that to get in you. I want you to feel that in the way of when you approach God next time to pray to Him. That you don't have to go through a process. He's not looking at your sin. He's not ashamed of you. He's not angry with you. You can approach Him just as you would a loving father who just delights in being with you. And there's nothing more. That's the beginning of coming to Him. And what a wonderful thought that we could do that. That makes me want to pray more. The reason I think a lot of times I didn't want to pray because I knew what I was doing was so wrong in my life and I just thought, He doesn't want to hear from me. But His love surpasses my understanding and He is a better Father than me. We can come before Him in our sin. In fact, I recommend it. Do not run in your sin from God. Come to Him. Boys, if you're in trouble, you've heard me say this, don't run from me. Come to me and I will help you. That's the Father's heart towards all of us, I believe. Satan says, run the other way. The first point is that God is our Father and we must approach Him in prayer as a Father. The second point comes in the second verse. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I didn't know what that word meant exactly, but I wrote it down here, the definition. The definition of hallowed means holy, sacred, greatly revered, deeply respectful, and sovereign. So, this is an interesting counteract a little bit because I just told you, He's a good Father. He loves you just the way you are. And He wants His delight to be with you. And none of that changes. But you also need to know that He is powerful, capable, sovereign, pure, unable to be manipulated by you in any way possible. Which is a blessing. Which is a blessing. He is all-knowing. He knew what you were going to come pray about before you ever came and prayed about it. He knows the sins that nobody else knows about in your life. And He still says, come. You're dealing with somebody. The difference between me and relating to my boys and me and relating to God is that He can actually do everything He said He can do. Everything that they want from me, I can't give them. You understand? as much as I wish I could. I would give him my life, but I can't give him all things. He can. He can give you all things. So you're dealing with him as a loving father, but understanding also that he is awe-inspiring, can be fearful sometimes. He's the God of the ages. He's seen it all. There's nothing hidden from his sight. Everything is opened up and laid bare before the eyes of him who judges justly, the scripture says. So he is, that's your God. That's your Father. That's the one you come to when you pray. Approach the throne like that, understanding that he is a Father and he is capable of answering what you're about to ask. And take off your shoes when you walk on holy ground, because he is sovereign. Don't do it flippantly. You can go and be with him and be a father and not do it flippantly. Not do it just like, you know, like it's no big deal. Walk into his presence knowing that the kind of authority that you're dealing with. And bow your knee. Bow your knee. Show some reverence for the God that you're serving. I think there's all these different types of prayers. There's prayers when you just are crying out, like T said, and you're just going to let it blubber out, and God understands that. And there's other times when you're like, we're about to get serious about this. This is the real deal. Have you ever prayed for something that was serious? That maybe life hung in the balance? That's the time you want to see God as being sovereign, powerful. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Set apart are you, Lord. There's none like unto you. He's a Father, and he's holy. The next point is the next verse, which is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This one was probably the most eye-opening one to me out of this whole thing, and that is, pray the will of God. Our prayers, John Piper said a great quote, he said, primarily, the great men and women of the Bible prayed prayers that God promised to fulfill already, and we're praying that he will fulfill those prayers. Does that make sense? You're already aligning your will with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Meaning, he's already promised that his kingdom will come. When you're saying thy kingdom come, you're just aligning your will with his in your prayer. How many of you pray that the kingdom will come? I'm keeping my hands down. Listen, very rarely have I prayed that. This is the outline of the very prayer that we just say all the time. That doesn't ever reach my personal prayers. That's shameful. I'm a preacher up here. I'm being honest. I rarely say, thy kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. That should be a staple in our prayers. Every time you sit down with God, that should be something you say. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. In fact, every one of our prayers should probably end with, not my will, but yours be done. In doing this, you're taking your mind off of yourself and you're putting it, aligning it with his will. Most of my prayers, like I said, are about me, unfortunately. I'm trying to change it. I'm going to change that. I want to pray that his kingdom comes. Because how many of you know that's all-encompassing? Do you understand that? When I'm praying for a desperate situation in my life, things are falling apart, I could just encompass it all by just saying, thy kingdom come in that aspect of my life. Then whatever happens, wherever the chips may fall, I know we're going to be okay. Because if the kingdom comes, it's all going to be good. All of your fears and worries will dissipate when the kingdom comes. Align your prayers with his will. Adrian Rogers says, prayers that for sure get to heaven started in heaven. Am I making sense? We've talked before about this being the will of God, right? We know what his will is. Here's a couple. That all men be saved. God said, it's my will that all men come to know me. That Jesus will rule and reign in the kingdom of God. These are the will of God that we know. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. What is the will of God? Those are things. You could do your own study. Start looking up what is the will of God. Like literally, you can Google it. And then you begin to pray that in your prayer. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Pray the will of God. Adrian Rogers said again, prayer is God's way. Prayer is God's way of getting heaven's way on earth, not man's way of getting his way in heaven. It's a great quote. But I don't venture there very often. It's usually just about what I'm seeing and what I want. I'm just trying to get you to a place where you say, I'm going to start trying to pray his will over mine. If you'll notice, the first one, the first one that we approach, or is we say Father. Second is we say he's holy. The third one, we pray his will. We haven't even got to anything about us just yet, have we? And Jesus said, that's the way it's supposed to start. You. And I'll be down there on the list somewhere because I'm included in those three things up top. Y'all still with me? Am I making sense? All right. I'm going to wrap it up. I've been going for a while here. On the fourth one, we finally get to give us today our daily bread. After we have aligned our will, after we have honored his name, after we have seen him as Father, now we say, Lord, please give us today our daily bread. And you know what? I'm not even positive he's talking about sustenance there. I still think he's talking about the word. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Give me your word. Give me, you can say provision, sustenance. But you finally get to that point where he says, now you can pray something about yourself. And then the last one, can't even hardly get into it today. It's too much, but to forgive us our debt as we forgive. I thought it was profound in my thinking and how dull my mind is. That I have never seen that in the Lord's Prayer, in the outline of the Lord's Prayer, which is our template, that we should be asking for the strength to be able to forgive people just as he forgave us. And that should be something that is included in every prayer that we do. Have you ever even thought about that? If that's the template, then it has to be in my prayers in the morning. It has to be as I'm leaving. Maybe I don't even have anybody to forgive, but give me the strength to forgive just like you forgave me. I've preached before that forgiveness is not a one-time event. It's a lifestyle. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. You're going to be constantly called to forgive and forgive. And the reason why it's so important is because if you don't, he doesn't forgive you. And you kill yourself with unforgiveness. That's why it has to meet your prayers every day. It's that dangerous for you. And God knew that. So Jesus included it in his outline of prayer. That's profound to me. And I'm going to start doing it. I don't want to have unforgiveness in my heart. Do you? It's one of the most dangerous things that we all tamper with all the time. It must be fresh on our minds all the time. Forgive, 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 just as he forgave me. And in doing this, you become like him. You have nothing against everybody. This will lead right into my next sermon on loving people, which I'm excited about. Prayer is much deeper than what I had thought. There's so much more. I've got so many more notes, but I'm not going to plague you with it. I think you can do your own research, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to search out and seek out what prayer really is. You can go through this. I didn't get into lead us into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. You can do your own study on this. God wants us to pray. He wants us to get to a place of prayer where we can pray to him like Jesus prayed to him, but also that we can pray with one another. And I believe for the kingdom to come, we're going to have to learn how to pray for each other. And I think we're going to have to learn to pray in a way that aligns our will with His. That we get beyond our petty little things and we say, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What a gift that we have that we can communicate with our Creator. And there's nothing hindering you from going to talk to Him. You are free. You are free. Amen. Amen. Will y'all stand with me? Let's pray. In light of the message, I want to offer if anybody needs prayer, you can come here and I'll pray for you. But there's many, many people in this room that can pray. Very good. So if you need anything, come get prayer. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid of it. Let God heal you with it. There's nothing like it. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, who is the mind of God, who teaches us how to pray. Your word says in Romans that we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit groans and makes, He speaks to you, Lord God, for us on our behalf. I thank you so much, Lord God, that you've given us the opportunity to talk to you, to pray to you, to hear from you. And also, Lord, that we know that we have a Savior in heaven now praying for us also, interceding for us every day. Help us, Father, to join in with you in the will of God in our prayers, Father. And let it become an everyday practice for us, Lord God, and let us draw closer to you. I ask you, bless your people, Father. Bless Miss Louise. Help her in this time of her need, Father. Encourage her. Help her to find you in the midst of all of this. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.